Hi, this is David Wood. Welcome back to Wood on Words. This is episode 21, Reaching New Readers, Part 1. It's been a busy day, as is often the case when you're doing writing and publishing stuff. Today is the launch of Neptune's Key, my new fantasy pirate adventure that you've been hearing about for weeks on end. And it's, I haven't sent out my newsletter yet. I wanted to, I did a pre-order period that I didn't push very aggressively. Today, I just updated my websites and things with the purchase links and made sure that the image was there and put it out on various social media, did some neat ads, and I've got something scheduled, a BookBub-sponsored ad that's going to go out tomorrow, and then I will follow that up with my newsletter segmented. So no movement yet with it, but, you know, I wound up doing that for a good chunk of the day, plus seeing to some other Griffinwood obligations, and I still needed to do the podcast. And so I did what I talked about last week. I did a couple of 8-minute writing sessions with the new Danematic book and got a little over 500 words. Actually, could have kept going because I got into a groove, but I wanted to do the podcast. I need to do some more work on Anubis Key, which is my next thriller that's coming out. And I'm very close to finishing my pass on that. And also, because I'm a publisher, I need to finish up royalties. I like to pay those out by the end of the month. And I have a little bit more reporting to put together. It's almost ready to go. And my daughter has a ball game again tonight. So yet another busy day. But, you know, that psychological lift of getting a decent number of words down really makes a difference and really gives me a boost so I can keep going on days that I feel like I really can't. So that is what is happening in my writing life. And today I wanted to begin talking about ways to reach new readers, which is really, I think, a bigger challenge in a lot of ways than all the things we've been talking about up to this point, all the best practices. Yes, it can be expensive to get editing and book covers and things like that, in getting all those things set up. But once you've got a few books out there and you've got your first little core audience put together, how do you reach beyond that and start getting new people? A lot of people get stuck after that first stage. So going to break this up into probably 3 episodes. Next week we will talk about paid strategies, things that are going to cost you money. Some will be expensive, some will not. And the following week I'm thinking about doing a what not to do. Depends on how much I come up with. But today we're just going to talk about strategies, practices, and I think pretty much everything we're going to talk about is free, although there might be a couple things that have paid and free options. So let's jump into it here. Got a scenario. Let's say you've written 3 books. I don't like pushing very hard until you have 3 to offer, and these could be novellas. I think in today's indie world, you don't necessarily have to be writing big, thick books in order to be successful, especially depending on what genre you're in. But there are a number of authors in different genres who are having a lot of success writing 25, 30, 40,000 word books, which allows them to put them out more regularly. So let's say you've got 3. 3 is a good number. You've done all the things we've talked about before, but you're stuck with a modest audience and you want to know how to go next. Because obviously the key here is going to be visibility. Nobody can buy your book if they don't know that book exists. So how can we, without making an ass of ourselves or wasting a lot of money, get our books in front of the sorts of readers who might actually want to read them and, more importantly, pay to read them? And, you know, we talk about Amazon's algorithms and its recommendation engines, and compared to its competitors, Amazon is by far the best. But even then, you really need to be selling books in order to derive most of the benefit from Amazon. So how do we do that? Well, let's start with one of the obvious things. With these 3 books, keep them in the same genre. Because what I have found is that readers don't drift too far away. The readers that you build, that you meet with your first book. And the farther away you get from your subgenre in which you've earned your first measure of success, the fewer readers who are going to come with you. It's a probably, okay, I won't say it's a huge mistake. It you are not giving yourself the best chance to succeed if you jump around from genre to genre thinking, oh, I'm just going to be one of those writers who writes anything and I'm only going to, and I'm going to build my audience on people who like a lot of different stuff. Well, you can do that. That audience is probably going to be very small. Most readers like what they like and they want more of the same. So your best chance is write your three books in the same genre, preferably in the same series. Now, I write books that are standalone, with the exception of my fantasy novels. My Absent Gods trilogy. They each told a story, but you needed to read all three to read the full thing, obviously. They needed to be read in order. Dane Maddock books and the others are separate adventures that just barely reference what's going on in the previous book, so they can be read in any order. But even then, readers like the series, and they like to jump back and start at book one. So, write your series. It is essential, as we've talked about, to have a call to action at the end where you invite the readers to click here to buy the next book and click here to join my newsletter. So you've got your three books out now and you've put them in a series in the same genre because you're smart. Now let's get some attention on your first book. Maybe make it free. Another option is to discount it. At the fair minimum, I would discount it. I did with Dane Maddock, I did permanent free for a while with book one, but then I went back to paid, but it's still 25% off of the other full-length books. It's $3.99 where all the other full-lengths are $4.99. It's selling very well. The perma-free worked okay, but that series has enough visibility that I felt it wasn't necessary. But with my Absent Gods trilogy, I couldn't get any traction under that until I made my first book free, and now I get steady sales. They're not amazing, but they were fantastic when I first went free because I did some marketing with it, and now I get a steady stream. So it is worthwhile still to do permanent free with your first book. So that's one thing you can do. Another thing you can do is what we call price pulsing, where you do strategic short-term price changes. You do a special 99-cent sale on book two, and you spread the word about it. This has a couple of benefits. If you can get a good burst of sales on that 99-cent book, it will hopefully jump up into the charts, and it will move up on the also-bought pages of other books in its genre. It is essential that you spread the word, and we'll talk next week about paid newsletters where you can do that. But just using organic strategies and getting people to help you get the word out will help you make some sales. There are also Facebook groups that welcome you posting links to free and discounted books as long as you're not obnoxious about it. So that's a thing you can search out. But, use the price pulsing strategy. What happens, I like to do it with a middle book because it draws attention to the full series. A lot of people will snap up that book because it's cheap and then say, but I want to start at the beginning. So they also buy book one. And if your book one is also fairly cheap or permanently free, they have an even better chance of snapping it up. So make your first book a bargain so people will be more inclined to buy it, and then pricing strategies and spreading the word. Now here's one thing that I haven't done, but I think is pretty cool. Write a prequel of some sort, and it could even be a short story, and give that away for free. I'm hearing more and more people do that. They write their, epic fantasy trilogy. First book is a little cheaper than the other two, but then they write a novelette or a short story that's a prequel to it, clearly branded as part of the series. They make that permanently free with the call to action to buy the series. That can be a good enticement. Obviously, free gets you on a different chart than paid, but still, free is going to get you some readers. It will not get you as high a percentage as a paid book that people bought and enjoyed. Realistically, most books that are downloaded for free are not going to be read. But that's not a reason not to do it, because most of the time, the readers you do get from your giveaways are going to be readers who would not have taken a chance on you otherwise. They're the kind of people who always start with free books and look to see if they like it. So I like that compromise of writing a novelette or a short story. Now, I will say that in general, short fiction does not sell. It doesn't raise your profile. But as a giveaway strategy connected as part of your series, I think it's a cool idea. So that's something you absolutely can do. Another thing that people aren't talking about much is write Kindle World stories for other authors in your genre. If you go to the Kindle Worlds thing on Amazon, you'll find a lot of different genres represented. If you can find some popular authors who are writing something close to what you're writing, you don't even need permission to write in the universe. You read their material that they provide. You write, it can even be a short story. Some of my Kindle World writers, I think I mentioned before, wrote stories as short as 12, 13,000 words. And they make a little money out of the deal. Plus, it gets your name in front of other readers in your genre. Now, I don't think there's any benefit in doing it outside your genre, but it's an interesting way. I wouldn't spend too much time writing something really long if you're purely just doing it for marketing. If you want to do it for the money, sure, put forth the effort, write a longer book. But I like that you can, with a minimal amount of time invested, write a story that will get your name in front of readers of, you know, some pretty popular and successful authors. So think about Kindle World as a way to get your name out there. Social media is a way to promote. It's not super effective, but you can get some benefit out of it. Facebook, I'll just say a few things about these because we've kind of touched on these before. Facebook, remember that posts with images, pictures, are going to perform better than posts with just text. And if you have a post with a hyperlink in it, a buy link for something, it's going to be suppressed, and very few people are going to see this. I don't remember if I shared this story, but just a couple of weeks ago with my Adrenaline Press Facebook page, which is the imprint of Griffin Wood that does action adventure, I've been posting something a few days a week. So one day I posted a cover image and posted the buy link as a reply, and that post was shared 500 to 700 times, I don't remember. 2 days later, I posted a different book. Now, in this case, I, just as an experiment, posted the hyperlink as the initial post, and you know how Facebook will automatically pull the image from the destination page. So it still was an image of the book. It had, I want to say, single-digit engagements after 2 days. It was like 7 or 9 people had seen the post. Same Facebook account, same type of story, but because I had a sell link, Facebook suppressed it because they want you to pay to boost your posts. So you're going to get more engagement by putting your hyperlinks as a reply. The downside is when somebody shares your original post, that hyperlink is not going to go with it, but hopefully they'll see that this is a book, and if it looks interesting, they'll go to their favorite store and punch it up and buy it. And then just remember, in general with Facebook, as you probably know, not all posts are created equally. The more engagements you get in the way of people liking the post, in the way of people commenting on it, the more likely it is that Facebook is going to show that post to other people. So that's why you have a cool picture with it, just to make it more interesting. You can like your own post. I think it does virtually nothing, but you can like it. You can reply to it with a hyperlink for sales, but really what you want is people engaging with it. Twitter is another thing. It's just about useless for selling books, but it's okay for giving them away at times. What you want to do with Twitter, whether you're selling or promoting a freebie or a discount, again, use an image just because that's going to be eye-catching. Figure out what appropriate hashtags there are that you can use. If it's a bargain, a freebie, a Kindle, a Kobo, an iBooks, whatever your genre, do a little searching around and familiarize yourself with some of the hashtags people are using, because that can sometimes get some new eyeballs on your books. Kindle freebie type hashtags are very effective when you are giving something away. I once had one where one of the freebie lists actually noticed my tweet and added me to their list, and I got something like 1,100 downloads the next day on a freebie that I didn't have to pay for. So look for hashtags, and then it's good to do separate tweets, not all at once, spread them out for separate stores. So, you know, do an Amazon, do one post just for Kindle. Use smart URL so you don't have to have separate hyperlinks for separate countries. And use the Kindle hashtags and the @Kindle handle. And then do the same for iBooks and Kobo, a specific link for their store. Maybe it's a bargain, say, you know, bargain on Kobo, free on iBooks. And sometimes, not always, but sometimes they'll pick up on those and share them. But it also helps people who are specifically looking for those books find you. Now, again, that's not, I don't expect much out of Twitter except occasionally getting lucky and giving away a lot of freebies, but there's no harm in putting a little bit out there. Don't beat people to death with it. Also, be the kind of person who is sharing, you know, retweeting other people's tweets of that nature long before you start posting them in hopes that some of them will return the favor. But, you know, it's free. It's easy to do. There's no harm in putting it out there. Another thing you can do that is effective, but you have to be careful how you approach it, is cross-promotion with other authors in your genre. This can take several forms. One can be just as simple as you've cultivated relationships with other authors who have audiences who might like what you like, and they share your Facebook post, they share your blog post, they share your tweet, they spread your word to their audience, and you do the same for them. You announce one another's not only new releases, but your sales and giveaways, things like that. Help each other out. Newsletter cross-promotions are great. Be careful how you approach it. We've discussed this before. You don't want to go to just anybody and ask if you can be in their newsletter. But if you've got that kind of relationship, you can get some benefit from announcing one another's, or, you know, introducing one another in your newsletter. Boxed sets can also be effective ways. One type of box set is doing a set of just your own books. And these are great for short-term promos. We'll talk about paid advertising, but a box set usually, with a few exceptions, has a much better chance of getting picked up for one of these newsletters than a single book. So it's great to have some box sets out there. It also gives you another title with your name on it that people can find while searching around. One of the reasons that we talked about getting three books out first, that's triple the chance that somebody's going to stumble across you. You add a box set, that's another one. However, let's say you only have three books to your name. Don't do a three books box set until you've got a fourth book out. I believe you should always have something full priced that your freebies or your box sets, any of your special stuff, can lead into. There always needs to be something else for the reader to buy once they stumble across one of your promotional strategy pieces of work. So get your fourth book out and then think about doing a three-book bundle at a slight discount for, you know, of your own stuff. Another option is getting into a box set with other authors. And this can be great because in an ideal situation, maybe you've got 10 authors in there, all 10 of you are promoting that set, and you're going to cross-pollinate. Different readers will discover new authors in that way, and there are different ways to do it. You might get invited into a story bundle, which is really cool. You might just get together with some other authors and do it on your own. But if you don't have those connections yet, check out a website called Bundle Rabbit, and I've got the hyperlink on the page, but I think it's just bundlerabbit.com. It's very cool. They do the bundling for you. They take a small curation fee, but one of the neat things is if you are in that situation where you don't yet have enough connections to be invited into a box set or to put one together, you can still list your books as being available for inclusion. And so let's say I'm going to curate a box set. I'll go to Bundle Rabbit, and let's say I want to do sci-fi. I'll start clicking through looking for sci-fi books, and if I see some that look good, I'll reach out to those authors and say, hey, here's my plan, here's what I'm going to do. Would you like to have your book included? So that service is a great way for someone who's fairly new to put themselves out there and increase their chances of being invited into a box set. Now, let's say you want to curate your own boxed set, and let's be clear, I'm talking about collections of novels and novellas, not short story collections. Short story collections don't sell for squat, and they are an utter waste of time in terms of promoting your novels. If you're a short fiction writer and exclusively short fiction, maybe it's a different story. But unless you're in with a huge big-name author and it's right smack in your genre, short story collections probably are not going to do much for you. We're talking in this instance about book-length works gathered in a collection. So let's say you're going to curate your own. Obviously, your ideal situation is to have in your mix some writers with big audiences. Well, you can ask. There is no harm, particularly if you have a relationship with them. Don't be surprised if they say no, because some authors are keenly aware that they're going to get nothing out of this, but everybody else is. But whatever, if you find yourself in a situation where you are going to approach some more successful authors, have your plan together, know exactly what you're going to do and how you're going to do it, so you can tell them. You don't have to write an essay, but just say, here's what I'm doing, here are the other authors who are included, here are a few of the things we're going to try to do to promote this set. I mention this because one of my author friends, who is very successful, was approached by someone doing a box set, and this person says, here's what we're going to do, we're going to put you and a total of X number of authors into this set, and then I'm going to pair up the authors, and you will each promote the other. This person did not provide the names of the authors who would be included, and so my friend obviously knew that she was going to be giving tremendous benefit to whoever she was paired with, and the odds were very slim that she would in turn have somebody, have a partner who was going to bring her much benefit at all. So have your act together and have a plan before you do it if you want to approach one of the more experienced authors. There's no harm in asking. It's better if you've built the relationship first. But in any case, even a box set with authors who are not very successful yet can still have, it still can be helpful to you. Now, giveaways. Giveaways, other than the paid newsletter list that we're going to talk about next week, we've talked about making your first book in a series free, which can be a good thing. But check out a site called InstaFreebie. And this is a way of giving away free ebooks. You can give away, I hear that you give away a lot of them. And some of those readers do migrate over and read your other stuff. It's a way of bringing in new subscribers to a newsletter. I won't get into all the details because they have both free and paid options. But I'm hearing good things from a lot of authors about it. Read up on it yourself, but that is one way you can, get more books out there and get your name out there. I have been cautioned. I haven't used this one yet, but I have been told, don't be impatient with it. Don't expect immediate results. If you try it for the long haul. We've talked about Goodreads giveaways. I won't repeat everything I have to say about them. I'll just say effectiveness is limited, but there's no harm in giving away one or two copies. Don't give away a bunch. Keep it simple. You just want people to put your name, see your book, enter the giveaway, and if they don't win, hopefully they have put your book in their to-be-read section, and they'll go back and buy it. Amazon giveaways, Kindle giveaways. Jury is out on those. I don't yet know of anyone who has felt like they got any results whatsoever from it, but we'll wait and see. So that's one I would hold off on. A few people have used Wattpad to give away free stories. This is another one where there's probably not a lot of potential. It's mostly going to be effective with young adult and new adult stories. And it's mostly a site where people who like to read free stuff online go. So you're mostly going to reach people who only want free books. But if you're in young adult or new adult and you have several titles, it might be worth putting whatever your freebie is also free on Wattpad. It might bring you a few new readers. So those are the high points, things that you can do for free, strategies you can take. And we're going to go ahead and cut it off here. And then next time we will talk about paid advertising options. So I hope everybody has a great week, and we will see you next time.